Please rise and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, June 29th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none. We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Just want to remind the rural residents that the spring cleanup ends June the 30th. So that's your last time to take anything out to the landfills or get rid of those appliances, so Brian doesn't have to pick them up out of the ditches. And let's see, last week I was gone for our ISACA conference, Iowa State Association of the County Auditors, and that was interesting. And not a whole lot of discussion about the new laws. They didn't dive into a whole lot of that yet. So, and it sounds like the Secretary of State, which usually does a lot of our trainings for our seat trainings, which are state election administrative training, they usually assist in that. We plan on having some of those classes in August, and obviously they have bowed out on doing some of that. So the people that are supposed to interpret the laws that tell us how to do it are backing out of training us. So I guess that $10,000 fine might come in handy. So, and another thing is we do passports in our office, and we recently got some information from the passport agency that they are recommending to apply 6 months prior to your travel plans and dates, because the routine process is up to 18 weeks and to expedite is only 12 weeks. So there's still a long length of time to get passports.
What's it cost to cut it down to 12 weeks? Isn't there a charge to expedite?
Expedite, I'm thinking it's like maybe $60. I don't know for sure. I don't deal with them a whole lot, but yeah, that cost has.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably just that. City school elections are coming up, and August the 9th is when the City of Burlington candidates can start filing, and then all other candidates can start August the 23rd. So
okay.
That's it.
Thanks, Terry. Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Nothing new to report.
I got a note for you then.
Sure.
I can't get my thing working here.
Yeah, the private WebEx session, for some reason, it won't connect. I think they might have to have like a service outage or something this morning. So.
Okay. It's not me then.
The YouTube live stream is still live and it's up, but yeah, the private one, yeah. I don't know. I can't get connected this morning. I think it's having an issue, so.
Not a problem.
Yep.
Here I thought I was going to come well. Again.
You should have known better than that. Sheriff Kevin Glendinning.
Hi, good morning. Things are going well. We remain busy. Our jail population, I believe, is at 72 this morning. We just two out of county. So keeping those numbers down, we're happy to see that and maintain that. I think today we're going to be moving on to we're working on our record management system for all of law enforcement throughout Des Moines County, and we're going to be seeing another demonstration for that. Colin's been a big help with that, giving us a lot of input and getting us something that we can maintain and something for the future. So
a lot of input, but not a lot of good input.
What's that?
I said a lot of input, but not necessarily a lot of good input.
We have a very outdated system, and we're happy to be working on getting that updated. And then we have departmental interviews for future deputies this afternoon. So that's about all I've got.
I'm really glad that you're keeping our county attorney busy. She needs something to do, and I see all these things on the screen. You know.
I think we're keeping her very busy.
Yeah. Sorry, Lisa.
What I get paid for.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yep.
Jared Lassiter, land use.
Morning. We don't have anything on the agenda. Don't really have anything pressing to address now. Just keeping busy as usual. So.
Any questions? Chris Lee, conservation.
Hi, good morning. Our water quality symposium was postponed. It was kind of last minute. I got an email this morning from emergency management saying that there's supposed to be hail and rain and wind and all sorts of hell breaking loose. And so we pulled the plug on it that morning. We tried to notify everybody we had on our list. I've heard that those notifications did not get received by a number of people. I need to look into that. I think we've had a couple instances where emails have not gone through. And so some looking to do on that, but that has been rescheduled for tomorrow, 5:30 in Big Hollow. So we'll try again to have that event. We will have it rain or shine. I guess if we have lightning, we'll tell everybody to go home. But we're going to keep on keeping on as best we can on that one. Other than that, parks continue to be busy. I think Big Hollow, other than a couple spots that are available during the week, it's full through the holiday. I suspect the other parks will be filled up here through week two for the holiday weekend coming up. Otherwise, yeah, just keeping at it.
Thanks, Chris. I have an email problem like that too much in a while, and as I investigated, it's typically because I've mistyped the email address.
Yeah.
It comes back to me, and it takes me a while to figure that out.
Yeah.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. We did obtain a murder in the first degree conviction for Devontae Davis last Friday, so Chris and I were quite pleased with that verdict. We are actually going to be doing at least one, if not two, trials this week. As I previously mentioned, July 31st is kind of our deadline for all of the speedy trial demands that were pre-COVID, as well as the speedy trial demands that are from the regular new cases since February. So we anticipate doing anywhere between 5 and 8 trials in the month of July. That's just in district court. Then we will also have dates in associate court as well. So we will continue to be busy. Like I said, that's just kind of the nature of the beast. We're always busier in the summer anyway. But with COVID catch up, that's just kind of throwing some timelines into a wrench. We'll also continuing to work with the Burlington Police Department and the Sheriff's Office on the National Night Out planning. Now that I'm back in the office, hopefully I can figure out what the heck's going on with that, other than it's the first Tuesday in August. I think that's the only part I actually have remembered from all of that. But other than that, we're just staying nice and busy. Anayo is doing, our legal intern is doing some great work. He's done several research projects for us. Especially with some of the new law changes and how to and we've had a couple of Supreme Court cases, both U.S. Supreme Court and Iowa Supreme Court. So he's been doing a wonderful job of catching us up on all of those things so we can properly advise law enforcement. So we are just staying really, really busy.
Congratulations to the lady at your office that's pregnant.
Thank you.
And Siobhan, safety.
Good morning. I don't know if I can follow that. Really, we're staying busy, but we really don't have anything new or exciting, so we're all good.
Thank you, Angie. Rodney Bleister, maintenance director.
Good morning. Just still got a lot going on, trying to get some grass mowed in between all the rain showers, but just want to remind anybody, if anybody knows anybody looking for a job, we still have a lead maintenance job position open. That'll be closing at the end of the day tomorrow. So if you know of anybody looking for a job, get on the county website. The application job description's there, or also at the auditor's office.
You got many leads on?
We've got 3 so far.
3 so far.
Yep. It's quite disappointing, but... Yep.
Thanks, Rodney.
So we may have to extend that out, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
Krista Pogemiller, local health.
Good morning. We continue to keep busy with giving vaccine. Our current vaccination rate is 37.5 for the county. Really encourage people to consider getting vaccinated. We're out in different areas. We're at the farmer's market. every Thursday from 4 to 7, so people can come in there, as well as we've been doing different events. This weekend we are at Pride Fest, the weekend before we are at Juneteenth, and this coming up weekend we'll be at the 4th of July Fest in West Burlington. So we're definitely out there and want people, if they're interested in the vaccine, to come see us. We are giving any of the three vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson, which is the one and done, the Moderna, or the Pfizer. In the last 7 days, we've had 7 cases, so our numbers continue to stay down, which is actually 2%, but only 7 cases. So that's what we've been keeping us busy.
Krista, somebody asked a question about when the testing site was going to be closing.
So what we've heard is July 16th. I mean, I can't really speak for the hospital because they're not part of the state testing sites. They're in collaboration with the state. So they're the ones that opened it up and then received a grant from the state to do that. My understanding is they are also looking at closing in July. And the state is working on, has sent out a survey, Iowa Department of Public Health, to local health departments as well as community health centers and different providers in the community to see if we would be willing to be sites where they could, we would have tests available. People could come in, take home the test, do the saliva test, return it, and we would send it into the state. So we're kind of transitioning to more at-home testing. I don't know when the date will be that we have that available. We have said that our public health would be willing to do that, as well as if people wanted to come in and have us do the saliva testing form and submit it, we can do that. So I think they're transitioning from the big sites into more of a either at home or individual testing. And again, I don't know when, but we're hoping that that'll happen before all these testing sites go down.
Chris, that farmers market thing, is that working out real good?
It is. I mean, we, you know, the first week I think we gave 30 vaccines. We're averaging somewhere between, probably 15, 18 vaccines each time. And, you know, that's a good number. I mean, that's numbers of people that wouldn't have gotten it if we weren't there. So
I heard that Great River, or whatever they changed the name to today, I don't remember, they are no longer requiring COVID tests for procedures?
I can't speak to that. I was under the impression they were.
And I heard a second answer that I've just I don't know.
Well, and I kind of got the impression they were continuing that, even if they were shutting down the Test Iowa site that they're currently running, that they would continue to do that for their pre-op, just because of the way the procedures are. Again, I can't completely speak for that, but that's what I've understood their conversation to be.
Well, I threw it out there. I thought maybe you might know. That's it, me, or whoever told me. Okay, you got anybody online? Okay, just anybody? Correspondence?
I have none.
Fireworks, I've got a couple people reaching out to me, and they said KG's being a jerk about it, but here's the deal. they didn't say that. Here's the deal. People want to do fireworks, and every year, we all know, we get complaints throughout the city because people want to get the party started early, and older people get upset about it because they forget when they were young that they wanted to do sparklers and stuff too. But as we get older, we don't like the boom bang as much. One of the thoughts that came up was to have a talk to the mayor of Burlington. He said they're looking into possibly having a date where it's making it legal where everybody can just blow up their stuff. I was thinking, why not even consider having a day in the county and even having designated areas where people can pay a small fee and, I don't know, sign a paper. I don't know if this is possible, but this is just what I threw out there. And I said that I'd bring it up, where they could go to a designated area on a special day and blow stuff up, and then it'd be a done deal.
I think we've got an ordinance that people can, except for the big stuff, that they'll ask for a fireworks permit, you know, that we pass fairly regularly. I think regular consumer fireworks,
they're legal in the county. The cities of Burlington, Minneapolis, and Danville have ordinances against them. So the city calls, especially Burlington, I think their call rate leading up to the weeks before and the week immediately after July 4th, it's like 30% of their calls is fireworks calls. It's a lot. It keeps them very busy. The answer to that, I don't know. I think if we have one day, it would be great. It might be an outlet for some to enjoy that. I think there's still going to be those when they're readily available for purchase through throughout the city that are gonna be setting them off. And I know they're an irritant to a lot of the citizens.
But back to what you said Burlington, which I know about our phone calls, but that was when I was working for the city of Burlington. How are the counties?
So they're legal in the county.
So we don't get a lot of phone calls from anybody?
We do. We get a few, not nearly to that rate. Of course, they're more spread out in the county. There's more room between the homes that are out there. But I believe it's June 1st through July 8th from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can shoot off fireworks except for those cities that have those ordinances. And then on July 4th and the weekends immediately before and after, it extends to 11 p.m.
So from your perspective, from a county perspective, we don't have a problem.
We don't have a major problem. We don't have a major call load. We still get calls, and we remind them of that they were made legal by the legislators. In general, there's still the large fireworks that how they're classed. You have to get that permit to the supervisors. But in general, in the county, it's not a major issue for us anymore.
Now we step for agreement. Dwayne County Reporter.
She tried to hide over here.
I see.
Moving all around. Good morning. Nothing to report.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie. Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Well, I don't know what we've hit, but it could quit raining at this point.
Yes, please.
Projects are going on, making headway for all how well we've been. So Flint Bottom, hoping to pour concrete yet today in the break after the rain. Highway 99, I think they'll be working towards, I'm guessing with the wet weather, it's pushing stuff back more towards next week, but they are working out there trying to get some stuff ready for concrete. We had some heavy rains off in the western side of the county and a little bit of water over the road, but nothing too major for us. There's been some counties hit really hard, however, I would mention that we've been fairly fortunate for what the forecasts have been. And I'd like to compliment Kevin's guys because we had a from what I understand anyway, drunk driver that took a fairly short but rapid trip through a construction zone and did some damage and got a hold of them, and contractor's going to be filing some financial claims against them because they had to remove some concrete that was freshly poured. They hit her hard. It had to be a heck of a ride, that's what I'll say.
Well, we had one jump bridge one time. So.
We did, and it was not that good. That is still the standard. They all seem to have alcohol, as a theme I'll mention. So that was over the weekend, and not the end of the world. We can certainly deal with it. It's just unfortunate. Other than that, we're just moving along and back to waiting for a little bit of dry weather. We've had a few complaints about mowing. I want to mention it. It's got to back to where it's got to quit raining. If we go run a tractor down the shoulder of a road right now, we'll just cut ruts. So it's just grass is growing faster than we can be out there at the moment. So if you have anything, you guys know how to get a hold of me and stuff. I just wanted to mention all that.
I apologize, Shane. Did you have any more correspondence? You mentioned that.
No,
that's all I had, sir.
Okay.
We've got a letter from the Greater Burlington Partnership. Dear Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, workforce remains the number one issue facing area employers. While there are several contributing factors, one in particular is within your capacity to impact. Housing stock in Greater Burlington is limited across every sector. Area employers report losing prospective candidates due to a lack of available and appropriate housing. This includes rentals, workforce housing, and high-end homes. Local municipalities in Des Moines County will soon be receiving money from the American Rescue Plan. As you deliberate the options available to you regarding the use of these funds, we prevail upon you to keep the housing needs in the forefront of your consideration. How might you leverage this opportunity to encourage redevelopment of blighted properties? Incentivize developers to build new homes and remove barriers to first-time homeowners. The American Rescue Plan funds will spark numerous ideas on how the money should be spent. On behalf of job creators in this community, we encourage you to consider housing as a top consideration. Sincerely, Della Smith, President, CEO. And as a matter of fact, I spoke to Della yesterday, and she's creating a housing task force, and she was wondering if someone from the county, we could think about it, this isn't something necessarily happened for a few months, somebody on the county would be interested in doing that, and I told her I would bring it up. We would discuss that at some time. I don't think we...
You're on that Greater Burlington Partnership board.
Yep.
So...
I agree with that. No choice. I do agree with me.
Can we vote on that yet?
That's solidified.
That's not on the agenda. The, but I appreciate your confidence.
Future agenda item, remind me, will you?
Appoint Tom.
Magic today. That's all the correspondence I had, unfortunately. We will proceed to discussion and vote. We have a accounts payable, an amount of $1,452,081.48.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have payroll reimbursement claims. Amount of $1,495.65.
Move it, we approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have the recorder's fiscal 22 designation of official depository. Gentlemen, I hereby designate Two Rivers Bank and Trust as the official depository for the funds of the Office of the Des Moines County Recorder of Deeds, Registrar of Vital Statistics. The designation is for the fiscal year July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. The dollar amount for maximum deposit is $150,000. Did I read that correctly, Natalie?
That's what it says.
That's what I thought. Okay.
It went off last year.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yep.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee Ware Wedding, the Barn on the Ridge, on August 21st.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee Belmer Wedding at the Barn on the Ridge, August 14th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
A lot of action at the Barn on the Ridge.
This next item will be familiar to Jim. Well, I think, I'm sure he'll remember it. This will be new to you, Shane. We have two
I paperclip those sets together, so.
Two quotes for our workman's compensation insurance. One of them from Hub Rule and Rule is for $176,946. The other one from IMWCA is for $149,867, $27,000 less. I have an extensive history with this, and so does Jim. Okay. Ordinarily, I would obviously vote to approve the lower price. Except we've had some history over the years with IMWCA. The last time we were here, we we brought it to their attention that they were our insurer for 7, 8, 9 years, that they overcharged us for 3 or 4 years in a row, or double charged us, because they were charging us for emergency management. The Emergency Management Commission is a 29C. It's not a 2080, it's a 29C, which means they have to furnish their own insurance. So they've been charging us for Gina and whoever was working for you, and so probably $7,000 they owed us. So I had been writing them letters, and they keep asking for more information. Then I got the Iowa Insurance Commission involved, and they'd write me letters. So everybody got their information, and the insurance commission wrote me back and said, you know, said, we appreciate you doing all this, but, you know, said, as we look into this, they said, that's not an insurance company, they're a risk pool, and we don't control them. You know, we don't regulate them, we have no power. And so shortly before they showed up, the last time, they sent a letter or an email saying that if we re-signed with them, then they would discuss that with us. And, I mean, it wasn't any, they knew they'd done it. And that irritated Jim, I'm sure you remember that email.
Yeah,
anyway, but
well, that's what turned my hair gray.
But what really, really made me mad was in our first year, we changed insurance to where we have now. We have a dividend policy, and if you have a good year, you get money back.
Right.
And I'd always liked that because when I was in business, I'd get money back about 3 out of 4 years, and it worked out well if you have a good safety program. And so, first year, things were going well, and we had a county employee hurt his knee. So anyway, so he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, he said, you dinged your knee, but he said, this is a continuation of a previous injury. So he'd been injured 3 or 4 years earlier. Well, IMWCA was the work comp, and so he was going to need surgery. So when it said the
and he was told at that time that he would need surgery.
Yeah. Anyway, so through, there was a, they had the, not only the original service, but a surgeon, but an independent medical examination said that was a claim was a continuation of an old injury. But MWCA said, not our problem. So they had to put the $90,000 on our new insurance. So, you know what that did to the chances of us getting a dividend? Well, so as time went along, and I apologize, I jumped around a little. The way you pay for workman's compensation is there's statutory rates for if you're a carpenter or an accountant or whatever, you know, it'll say you pay so much per $100 of payroll, but then each year they look at your safety record, and it's usually the NCCI, and they say, okay, you've had a good year, bad year, and you get an experience modification. It can be above or below one. So they usually figure that about the end of January, isn't that right, Tom? Somewhere around there, around the end of January, sir, sometime in January. About 6 months after the policy ends, and then insurance companies about 9 months after the policy ends, which would be in March, then they look at it and see if you get a dividend.
Okay.
So that $90,000 is sitting there. So not only did we not get a dividend, but our experience modification went up, and it shouldn't have, because in May, IMWCA, they didn't want to go to court, and they've already blown up our chances for a dividend. They said, you're right. They said, we'll take it. So anyway, so what that cost us, and now that the figures are readable, it cost us a $39,690 dividend, and it probably cost us another $15,000 because we had to pay higher insurance rates because of that.
Because you didn't get very much.
Anyways, and then if you get to the, over the 10 years they've been there, we would have gotten $28,000 a year average for a dividend. So while
I feel you,
I appreciate it. I'm gonna tell you up front, I'm gonna vote with the hub rule and rule, with the insurance we've already got, and I think that'll work out better in the long run. I would not be surprised if it works out better this year.
I'll second that in the long run if that's a motion.
That's a motion.
Right on.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for sitting through my long story.
I appreciate the information.
It just brings back bad memories.
It was one of the. It was one of the more. Sparky days.
This makes my life.
In this room,
it makes my life better too.
This is. We had some. It was an interesting.
I can remember I was not happy. I know that because I told the guy afterwards, I said, that's blackmail.
I thought Tom was going to bust a vessel.
I wish I could have been to see that.
We got excited. But all's well that ends well. Anyway, on to resolution. To modify the health insurance rates. Each year we approve the employee handbook. And so this year, effective July 1st, the percentage of the insurance premium that the DeWine County employees raise increases from 6% to 7%. We negotiated that 2 years ago. And anyway, but since we're discussing the employee handbook, that doesn't need to be. It's going to take us a while to go through that. We spent a couple weeks ago doing that. We need a resolution just, you know, to move that 6% to 7%. So, whereas the board has compelling interest in providing county employees a competitive benefit package with health insurance premium and contribution rates that are reasonable and appropriate considering relevant internal and external factors, whereas the board finds it reasonable and appropriate to increase the employees' compensation rate for health insurance premium from 6% to 7% and to adjust the county's compensation rate accordingly. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County as follows. Contribution rate. If an employee elects to participate in the county's group health insurance, the county will contribute 93% of the premium cost to health medical insurance coverage selected by the employee, and the employee must contribute 7% of the premium cost of health medical insurance selected by the employee. The language of this resolution shall supersede any prior board resolution and any board policy and any provision of any employee handbook or individual contract previously approved by the board. The language of this resolution shall not supersede any provisions of any collective bargaining agreement entered into pursuant to Iowa code. Anyway, so essentially what we're doing is we're just making the 6% to 7% official.
I move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. That sort of thing. Another line of credit for capital expenditures, IT expenditures, building expenditures, vehicle expenditures, that sort of thing. So, and that exceeds in a ton of paperwork. But we borrow the money as we need it, pay it back in a week or two, and then at the end of the year, we don't owe anything. So there's no long-term debt. So we will have two project notes. The first one is a resolution 20-21-036. No.
37.
20-21-37. All those numbers are close together for me. Approving issuance of general obligation loan agreement anticipation project note not to exceed $550,000. So unless somebody wants me to read this whole thing.
I don't think so.
That's what I was hoping. What's up? Okay, we need a motion to approve resolution. $550,000.
2021-37 resolution.
Thank you.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Exact same resolution for the health insurance for a project note not to exceed $2.8 million.
Move to approve.
Second.
Carey.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel action. One for the correctional center, part-time correctional officer, Zoe Eland, a new hire at $13.14 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel action for the recorder, Renee Wellborn, clerk 2, June 21st, 2021, 7.5 hours unpaid.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. And we have a personnel action for the veteran affairs. General Assistance Coordinator, 6 month step increase. The previous rate was $34,782. The new rate is $35,651.55.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Of course, we have the jail statistics for May of 2021. Report is on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of June 22nd, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Kim, I saw you sneak in.
Yes. Sorry I was late.
Community services.
Yes.
No problem.
Nothing really new to report. We're just continuing to keep busy. Thank you.
I thought she was out riding that new bike, but it's raining. So.
It's having brakes put on right now. So. That's probably a good idea.
They're overrated.
I don't think so.
Other business. Future agenda items. You know, Jared, you'll see Mike Norris. Probably, I'm not talking about Jordan Wesson. We should probably have a work session. I know he'd like to, he's reached out a couple of times about for the American Rescue
Act. Oh, ARPA, yeah, plan, yeah, okay.
About housing. He wanted to talk to the board, so.
Sure.
You might want to ask him or think about it, contact Terry or,
okay,
or somebody and set up a work session.
Sure.
In the next few weeks.
Absolutely, I'll let him know.
Okay. Committee reports.
I really don't have anything to report.
I missed one meeting, landfill. At, I had a visitation down in Missouri to go to. Blew it off, I guess. But I also had a Southeast Iowa Crime Commission meeting, and things are going pretty good there. They're staying above water. Transport's been down, but still okay. But then I had a juvenile detention meeting also. And juvenile detention is going through these figures here in 2019, this year 2019, we spent $189,120 for juvenile detention just for the bed. You know, that's the bed considered today. That's not counting the transportation or anything like that to bring them up to court or anything. In 2020, we spent $150,560, which is a $38,560 decrease. That's kind of due to some of the COVID.
Yeah.
We figured the early COVID. In 2021, and this was up to Monday, we had all the figures up till Monday for the end of this fiscal year. There might be some added to this, maybe 4 or 5 days. But we're at $104,800, which is $84,320 decrease from 2019. This is just for the beds. So we feel that the impact is due to COVID. People, you know, the kids wasn't getting out and getting in trouble and that, which is good, but that's $84,320 less than fiscal year 2019. So it took COVID to get that down, which is sad, but.
Part of it might be due to the efforts of the law enforcement and the county attorney's office. They're saying.
So.
It does tend to come in spells as well. I mean, sometimes we just have violent juveniles, and when they can't be, they can't be housed in the jail, and there's legislation this year that specifically says they, it's a sight and sound restriction where they can't be in sight or sound of an adult offender. And now there's legislation that says that they cannot be housed at the jail, even within those parameters, outside of a court order. So they without a court order, they will always be housed at the juvenile facility. But it comes in waves. There's very violent juveniles that we can't, they can't be out on the streets, so.
My wife used to tell me, she was a teacher, and she said you could just see one class. You know, she said, well, everybody's been talking about this class, but now they're in sixth grade or seventh, whatever, you know, that.
It really is. Sometimes there's a group of unfortunately bad-influenced offenders. And they tend to come in waves.
Well, $100 over $100, or right around in there, $100 a day to send them to jail to keep them there for the food and all of that stuff. That's
$160
a bed. It's a whole lot cheaper to get them a job. I'm saying, get them a job, man.
Yeah.
These figures I just give you does not count for transportation or anything like that. Getting them back and forth this month, just in our bills that we just paid. We just spent $5,500 for transportation for these juveniles. So,
isn't there supposed to be some sort of an educational component down there too?
Yeah, they do have a school down there. they have teachers on staff, and it's kind of like you lead a horse water, but you can't let him drink, you know.
Well, all that's true. My compliments to the to law enforcement and the county attorney's office stand. So I think you guys are doing well.
Yep, doing well.
Thank you. And I agree with Shane. Get a job.
Yeah.
You know, I seen the thing. You know how to turn $40 into $400? Put gas in your car and go out and look for that job.
There you go.
It's wisdom. I just sit here and soak it in.
Have anything else, Jim?
Nope, that's it. Outside of the meeting, I'm asked.
I attended the COPCO meeting. We had updates on the enrollment progress and the wellness initiatives and changes in deferred compensation. And we elected new officers, which I'm thankfully not one. So, and making room. Sarah's going to be on that board the next meeting, and I think they'll have two new officers. Sarah Lindsay, or?
Yeah.
And Siegel?
Lindsay Siegel, yeah.
Lindsay Siegel, yeah. Okay. That's all I had. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's B-O-A-R-D at dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or that call. In the meantime, is there anybody in attendance that has any comments?
Yeah, something I'd bring up. I was in here.
Would you give your
yes,
name and address for the record, please?
Yes, it'd be Jeff Bernhardt. It'd be 11725 94th Avenue, Burlington. I was in here a couple years ago complaining about some water rights, how the water's running on my property. I have two properties that are just off 99. Just this year, we had somebody come in and redo the road from my neighbors to the north. They ended up putting 2 to 3 inch gravel down. They cut a hole going from their road to my property to let the water run from their land to my land. And then down below their bottom of their driveway, they build up rock so the water doesn't run anymore to the east towards 118th Street, where we put road millings down there about 2 years ago. They overlayered it with rock. Now you're going uphill. Now the water's flowing down towards my residence at the bottom. So when you come down to the top of the hill, they build up 2 to 3 inches of rock for the water to hit, and then it veers off to the west. And then eventually all that dirt's gonna fill in them cracks of the gravel, and it's just gonna be dirt on top of the rock. And I'm getting a diversion of water onto that property.
Is when you say they, are you referring to the county or to a private landowner?
It was a private landowner. And it also drains from Sylvan Heights up above, drains down to their property. I get that water from them, which wasn't bad, but now the road used to be only one car width going up. In the last 10 years, they've had more kids and they're driving. So now the road has gotten wider. So now the flat road, the water comes down. My house has been flooded twice, a rental I have there. And I diverted the water from on my property to go in towards the so-called pond. But now that with what they've done is they made the road to go out on 118th Street, a hill where the water isn't draining, it's draining back to my property. So all the water from up above is draining to the rentals. We have septic tanks down there. I have two lines that's draining out. Once the water fills up, it only takes so much water, and then the system will back up eventually.
I will refer to the county engineer and the county attorney, but on private landowner like that, I think your only recourse is the civil courts.
I've talked to Regional since, and they've been very helpful for me. But as you're coming down 118th Street, we got a 20-foot easement, and I've been taking care of that probably for the last 12 years. We
removing the snow, putting gravel
down. What's
that
address again, Jeff?
11725 94th Avenue. And I talked with the homeowner on that because I didn't realize he owned it, and I would like to go in there and put some more road millings in there and patch the holes up so, you know, we got the water 20 foot, which he's only telling me we got what we got. We ain't going any further than 20 foot, which is on the paper we have 20 foot that we can drive on for an easement to get to Highway 99. And what they've done was they built it up the bottom where the water comes down, and actually all the water's coming off the hillside and draining on the road, and it's causing potholes. So in turn, that makes me go out and fill the potholes with gravel. Yeah. And as you get down to 94th Avenue, right before you go out to 99, you take a right, and we had a neighbor that took road millings about 3 to 4 foot wide, about a foot high, and put it so the water doesn't flow to the south anymore, as it used to flow. I mean, it's a new neighbor come in, redid his house, which I'm fine that he built it. If he had culverts in there, they would go into the culverts, but they're all filled for dirt, sand, and everything else. So my issue is every time somebody comes in or out, you're hitting a bump, driving up over it, and you back down. And it's kind of getting frustrated because now you're getting dirt and rock and sand on this berm that you're hitting before you get into your own home, plus mud. And we try to keep our vehicles clean. I have a motorcycle, so I don't want to really drive through, you know, mud and rock, everything else. It used to be a clean road until they put the berm in. So that's been kind of an issue. I was told we're a 2-mile zone. There's nothing they could really do. The county, it's still kind of a private road, as I understand. So I'm back to attorney.
And that's it. The county doesn't have any jurisdiction over private roads unless it's there's an entrance to a new subdivision or something like that, they would send that.
Right, and this is a subdivision that dates back to the 1960s when yes. The second addition to Sylvan Heights. There was a one-lot subdivision that he had mentioned. That's the Ikigai Heights. That was a property owner just to the north, a fairly large property with a house. A family member had a piece split off from building another house. That, as far as I know, hasn't happened yet, but there is a 20-foot easement on there, which is really just noting what was already there, because that they need to get that's an access to several properties to the west, and so that plat was merely illustrating that 20-foot easement that was already recorded on file for that. So that's always been that way.
Then my thing is with the 20-foot easement, we only got like maybe 15 feet, and I like to make it a little bit wider where we have some runnage going down to 99 with the culvert to take it straight out to 99, so we can build the road up, and then it follows straight to 99, hits culverts, and heads south the way it should be. So that's kind of a thing I wanted to mention.
And I appreciate this, and I've, a few years ago, I remember looking at a cornfield, and the owner of that cornfield sort of built a little dam, so that water would run along there into his neighbor's field. But it's on private property, unless I'm mistaken here. I don't think the county has any jurisdiction on that at all. Would that be right?
I've spoken to Mr. Bernhardt a couple different times, and I understand what he's saying completely, and I actually have encouraged him to seek out private counsel, because I think he has an argument. He has pictures. I mean, drainage is a gray area. We've talked at length a couple different times, and I know he's frustrated. I would be too if I lived where he is. It's certainly causing, not just to a certain extent quality of life, but some actual sewer issues and stuff like that. It's about a half mile north of the city limits, give or take, in a private subdivision, and it's just in Des Moines County, there's just no power for government beyond county right away. And they are, we've talked about the roads and stuff, but it's like any other subdivision in the county. It's got a road number. And if you look on GIS, it looks like there's a road there. And there's a road there for public use, but it's for the use of that subdivision. And it's a subdivision road. And I've been out there more times than Mr. Bernhardt contacted me, because there were some other issues number of years back, even further. It seems like there was some rebar out there. I can't even remember. It's there's been some frustrations out there in the past, not all necessarily water related, but a lot of it has to do with that driveway where it comes down and stuff like that. So Lisa could certainly add more to that, but I'm not aware that we have any way to help him, and I don't blame anybody for not wanting to go pay whatever you pay an hour for a lawyer, but my best advice is to at least get a letter drafted, let somebody give them an opinion that's far more intelligent than me, and see whether they think they can make some headway for him. And that's a bad spot to be, but unfortunately I think that's where it's at.
Yeah. I sympathize with your predicament. I regret that.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I didn't catch on that seems to be the
The only other problem I had was my neighbor just ended up putting another 3-car garage up. And Mr. Broker was in here, not Broker, but the other councilman was here. Did field tiling. Beck?
Oh, Mr.
Beck.
Mr.
Beck. Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He told me a good thing to be doing is field tiling. Well, I did field tiling, but my neighbor next door built a 3-car garage on top of his other 8 garages that he has, which are all 2.5 car garages. Build a concrete driveway that goes out to 94th Avenue. You get a little tilt in your driveway, now all the water flows to the south, comes around the bend, and drains right to my culvert. And right behind my culvert is where my septic tanks are, and where my septic tank drains out. So once this fills up, now it's doing to me using our restroom, washing dishes, everything.
Your neighbors, I'm assuming they're aware of all this?
I've talked to this guy about this. He actually ran 6-inch PVC pipe off his downspouts from all of his garages onto the concrete, diverts it straight out, and it goes right straight to my property. And I mean, I have 2-3 inches of mud on the end of my driveway. My garage door, where I got concrete going up to it, 2 foot away from my garage door, I was out with a broom on that last big rain we had, 4 inches of rain, pushing water away from my doors. So I mean, this guy diverts. Yeah, it's intentional to do, and plus he put up like 4 pine trees, so all the cones are falling off. Tried it to tell me that I need to put more culverts in, and tell me that I need to replace the one I have. So I mean, it's kind of the way the deal is, you know. I mean, it's flowing the water right to my property, which is against the law. I mean, I can understand when you guys say, you know, they can't do nothing, but still at the same time, a guy pays taxes. You know, and it shouldn't be where I have to go hire an attorney for $3,000 to prove a point that they're doing something they shouldn't do. I mean, I own 2 properties and everybody's diverting water to the properties because I'm into the houses, you know. And one guy told me, he says, well, what'd you rather do, have the water on your property or put water out here on 94th Avenue, all these nice homes? And that kind of gave me a bad stigma because we got a mosquito hen pit where they shoot all the water towards my properties. Plus, I have a guy that lives down there, recently divorced, raising 2 children, and he's trying to do the best he can. And, you know, when you get all this water from up above, it's just not right to flush all the water down to this guy. And he has, you know, mow grass, as everybody talks about, you know, how we're all behind. And when we got water standing, it's just an issue that, you know, you can't do nothing until it dries up. Now it's looking like a... It's looking pretty bad. I might as well just desert it and leave it, tear it down, and call it good. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, it's kind of upsetting because, you know, you try to put in money into your residence and take care of it, but then you have somebody else that just don't care because they say water runs downhill. But when they run downhill and they take an excavator and cut a line going to my property, that's a different issue.
I'd at least sit down with an attorney telling problems, get an idea what it might cost and what, you know, you might be able to, might or might not be able to get for damages. Does that make sense? We're going to charge you to talk to you for a while, but you should get a fee.
Consultation fee.
Yeah.
Some attorneys will charge you for it, some don't.
Well, one of them said like $3,000 or something right off the bat, and I thought, you know, 3,000 grand just for somebody to
try another one.
Yeah.
is this a typical problem that we face in the county? I mean, in the city, it's an easy fix if they do some, you know, they...
Yeah, I mean, the city don't really, and I start breaking in, but the city don't like when you used to run your downspouts into their sewer lines. Well, basically, the guy's doing the same thing to me. He's running over on my property, and I'm catching all his water from, I'm guessing, 12 garages, plus the concrete. So, I mean,
you know, back then, it's a lot of water
you're
flowing on my property.
Yeah.
I'm getting
We've
all.
We've had a lot of rain.
We've had more rain than what I want because I'm still getting ready to mow my grass, and every time I want to, it's like, it's too wet.
I've got a problem. The guy built a garage, and he's blacktopped this driveway. It was gravel, and now all that water runs, and man, my basement's wet right now. I was up late last night, so I squeegee out, so I feel you.
One issue in this case is, I've mentioned this was in the 1960s when the subdivision was platted. So this actually predates our even having a subdivision ordinance at the county by almost, I think it was even over a decade. And I can tell you the lot sizes in this subdivision are definitely below what our minimum, which the minimum is established for ensuring there's enough room for a new septic system. Another downside of having a small lot in that type of location is that, again, if somebody wants to come in and build numerous accessory buildings, as long as they comply with the setbacks, some of the basic regulations like that, it's in compliance with our ordinance. So that's why how the subdivision and the zoning ordinance go hand in hand. And of course, we didn't have either at the time. So it's somewhat unusual. There are I think Glenmark and a few others were platted with small lot sizes like that. But it's another one of those situations where it's kind of why we have a subdivision ordinance. Why we determined that we needed one is because there's issues that having more urban density developments in a rural area, especially where you have some complex drainage issues, when we're talking about what's going on here with the Sylvan Heights, the original subdivision off a golf course road, and then the second addition where he lives down off of 99, that's a very steep drop there. So there's definitely, and it's just factors. The bottom line is all of this was planned before we had the ordinances in place to try to address those factors before people went in and built the infrastructure. So now, unfortunately, we're kind of dealing with the consequences of that in those instances where the area was developed before we had those regulations in place.
I wish there was something I could take. Okay. Better, I guess got our sympathy and best wishes, but I would go lawyer shopping.
Okay.
And just, you know, get an idea what it's going to cost. I'm sure they aren't all the same. I don't assume, but I would tell them what the problems is, consultation, or call them up, find out if there's a consultation fee. I suppose you could call an office, couldn't you? And some of them might have it, and some of them maybe don't, and then decide who you want to talk to and get an idea what they think it would cost this case, you know, for lawyer's fees, and what your chances of success are, and what that success might look like in dollars, or getting water diverted back where it should be going.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no place for it to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's the issue. I mean, when they built this subdivision and then they add in
there's
more
a place
buildings.
For it to go, they pointed it at you.
Yeah, they pointed to me, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, two properties and getting all the water. It's like I've never had a problem in 15 years I've lived here. The last couple of years since we had a new neighbor move in, redid his house, he come in, he wants to start redoing everything, which is fine if it's good, but then when it goes to your water diverting, it becomes an issue. So, I mean, now it's getting to be an issue because we're getting all the rain. And when it rains, as you know as well I do, it just doesn't sprinkle. It pours down, so... It's kind of coming to an issue where, you know, I wanted to contact an attorney, but when I talked to one, it was over $3,000, and the one in Burlington doesn't even want to talk to me, so it's kind of running into a very fine line here. So I was thinking more or less what's it take to just eliminate the road coming into my house and building the road off my other house and building it up so there's no water even comes to my land.
It's a private road. You would have to build the road, you mean?
I just built a road coming off where I live now, off 94th Avenue.
That's a question for Jared.
Well, where would the road be?
There is going to be no more road there. I'm just like talking to you one time. I want to put about 18 loads of dirt in through there to keep the water
low. Oh, okay. That's on your property, yes.
Yeah, on the rentals.
Right.
So instead of having that, just, I mean, I'm getting tired of having all the water down there because mosquito pit, frogs, I mean, it's continuous.
Before I did that, I would call some more attorneys.
Get some more attorney advice.
I'd call and ask some questions and find out what it's going to cost to talk to them.
Okay.
Just ask them, write down the questions you want answered and then have a list of those. And good luck.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys. You do good work. Thank you.
Sorry for your troubles, man. I know you didn't feel any better, but I kind of got a little taste of what you're dealing with, man.
Yeah, it's like a neighbor should have a little consideration for that of neighbors, but as world today, it's just like everybody's kind of gone off the deep end.
It's a shame.
You know, instead of being courteous and thinking of everybody to you, but, you know, nowadays they just, people don't care. It's like, you know, it's like just go on your way and don't worry about it, which everybody should start helping everybody out and doing what's right, but. You know, for me to go out and hire an attorney for $3,000 when I pay taxes over $3,000, if not more, a year. You know, I got charged for a pond from the assessor. It wasn't even a pond. It's from all the runoff that I get from up above.
You've talked to him, haven't you, then?
Yeah, we talked that, got that settled. So I appreciate that very much. But it's like nothing like being charged more money for something I don't even own. And now that they redid the road, it's worse now than it was before. And I got a house that sits on the hill, and when the water comes up out of the pond, it used to be a pond, and it floods, my other house is going to get down below, is going to be flooded, along with the garage with the apartment in it. So check with the attorney and...
That's what I would do. Good luck to you.
You guys don't have any good attorneys, you know, by chance. Sure do need one, let me tell you, because it's... I haven't found nothing in Burlington.
We got a good one, but she's pregnant. I don't know how good she's doing.
Well, she can catch me. On a good day, you know. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Any other public input? Seeing none, with an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
All right. Aye.